Welcome to She Struts Radio, where we give voice to women's stories, longings, pain, deepest heart's desires, and dreams, and support them in being unapologetically vocal, visible, and vulnerable women, happily claiming their place in the world. Now, here's your host, author and speaker, Deborah M. Ricks.
Welcome to She Struts Radio. Jill Scott, you know, she always brings it. I am your host, Deborah M. Ricks, and I am so glad to be here to have this conversation. It's so much in this book that we can talk about, all right? But we can't talk about it all because we only had 90 minutes. But I am excited, you might hear it in my voice, to have our guest this evening. I'm not even going to go into a long opening because there's just I'm pretty floored, really. I've been preparing for the show, and I hear some backfeed. I don't know who it is. Oh, it's probably my guest. There's some, like, some clicking and cleaning and some traffic and some stuff. So I'm going to introduce you in just a moment. Hold on. But I want you to know that I have been reading my guest's book. And I met her about 3 years ago, actually. I was doing the Anthony McCarthy Show. I was a producer there. And I saw her book. It was named... I won't even tell you the title because you can't get it under that title anymore, but it had another title. Now the title is The Black Girl's Guide to Winning at Love and Life. And we're going to go there. We're going to go someplace. Now I'm going to tell you straight up, the title is a little deceptive. It's a very nice, mild title, sweet, and all of that, and not very provocative. But when you open the book, you're going to get a little slapped around. You're going to laugh. You might cry. You're going to learn something. You're going to see yourself on the pages. And it's really a provocative read. I couldn't put it down. I just kept going back to it, actually. I was like, oh, my God. So let me tell you about Stephanie Small, who's the author of The Black Girl's Guide to Winning at Love and Life. She's a former social worker She's now a certified trainer and a college lecturer with a bachelor's degree in psychology and a master's degree in the arts. She's Canadian bred with West Indian roots. She now lives in the Big Apple, New York City, where she works as a professional development coach strategist specializing in adult education. Her life's mission is to educate individuals on how to overcome their fears and discover their own personal power. Welcome to She Struts Radio, Stephanie Small.
Thank you, Deborah. That sounded great. I sounded good coming out of your lips. Thanks for having me.
It's a delight to have you. We haven't spoken, although we've done a little communicating via Facebook, but we haven't spoken for 2 or 3 years because your book came out in 2013. I saw it in a publication, and I reached out to you, and I was like, you got to have her on the Anthony McCarthy Show. And so here you are on She Struts Radio, and let's just go straight to talking about some of the topics that you explore. First of all, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, I had so many inspiration, but the main inspiration is that what happened is that I was getting married, and about two weeks before the actual nuptials, I had a breakup, and it had a profound effect on how I viewed life and love, and I basically wrote this self-help book for women to kind of find their better selves, to improve and to empower themselves when despair is at their most, when it's most at its most poignant. So I wrote this book not only for Black women, but I wrote this book for me. A lot of my friends, my Black friends, were not getting married, and my other friends from other races were getting married on a regular basis. Back then, that 47% of Black women will never wear white was a big thing, and it really disturbed me. And so I really wanted to figure out and kind of delve into why, you know, it is that Black women are either seen as unmarriageable, or whether, you know, what it is that we can do to turn things around. I train people to improve and to succeed, so I thought, why not love? Let's start with love.
Yeah, start with love, and let's end with love. What I got to tell you, though, as I was reading the Black Girl's Guide, I had a lot of emotions, and some of those emotions were anger, sadness, like fear, because basically there were parts of your book where the foundation was that we're not winning at love. We're losing as Black women at love. Why do you say that?
Well, I say that because when I was doing research for this book, first of all, I went around and I asked a lot of Black men and men in general, you know, would you date a Black woman, or what's your experience dating Black women? And the answers were always negative, you know, or they were sometimes positive, but not as much as I would have liked. You know, I kept on hearing how that we're angry, you know, the ABW, the angry Black woman thing came up. Often, you know, that we're unapproachable, you know, that we're materialistic. There's all this stuff that people had impressions of who and what we were, and a lot of it wasn't based in truth, you know. And also the media has a perception of us. We have to work so hard to let everyone know that there's value in Black women, that we have so much to offer, that, in fact, we're one of the best women on the planet. So, you know, I just wanted to get that across, but to do that, you have to give the hard truth, and you have to also give instruction. So it's not enough to tell someone what the issue is without giving them solutions. So I try to give both in the book.
And yeah, and we're going to talk about some of the solutions a little bit later. I just want to explore what is being said about us, because, I mean, of course, I've heard much of it. I can tell you that there's a lot of anger toward Black women. not other race men necessarily, but black men. I had an experience myself recently. I mean, if you go to YouTube, it's like it's a nightmare for black women. And you hear from black men largely. And there was a brother who was saying that black women, when they marry or date white men, that they are nice and docile and sweet and all the things that men say, on, you know, to some extent they want women to be. And so this brother wrote this, he was, you know, doing this video. And I commented, and boy, was that a mistake, because the brothers attacked me, you know, you know how it shows up in your email what someone said, you know, responded to your comment. I finally went and deleted it because I got tired of getting all the hate mail. There was only one brother among them that was kind and gentle, that was just, you know, having a conversation with me. But largely what you hear, there's a lot of anger directed at black women. And so even though we are called angry, I'm clear that black men are angry as well. So why do we get such flack, though? I mean, what's really going on here?
Well, first of all, we share the same history, right? Black men and black women. So we have to work together in order to kind of solve the problem. Black love is an important aspect of everyday life, an important aspect of relationships. So if we can't fix it together, it can't be fixed, right? So black men have to join in the discussion. They have to join in the solution, because we can't change, you know, our relationships without them. You know, I think black love is amazing. You know, I encourage women, black women, to try all types of races as far as their dating, but black men and black women is the ideal couple as far as I'm concerned. But having said that, you know, you have to try everything to see what works for you. But I think that, again, we share the same history. So if there's issues of one single-parent household that have caused trouble, you know, we have the same history dating back from now all the way back to slavery. We have to face the same obstacles on the road based on racism and other things. So basically, black men are angry, and sometimes who do you usually project that anger to? The people that are closest to you, which happens to be black women in this instance. And for black women, to refer to your comment about black women are so much nicer to the other races when they date them, you have to give to get, right? So whatever they were receiving brought out that goodness or that soft side of them, which they were sharing with their spouse of the other race. But I think that it's very important that as a couple, as black people, as a people, that we work together to kind of find our way back to each other. Because I think we've kind of lost connection, lost touch, and I think it's very important that black men need to support us, because we need the support more than anything.
Very well said. I will add that black women, if we are angry that black men have contributed largely to that, we have to look at the entire picture. You talked about that. You said that we have given up hope, many of us. And it's not just hope. I'm not getting that hope that we will get married, but there's another hope that you're talking about. Say more about that.
Well, they've given up hope for a lot of things. They've given up hope for marriage. They've given up hope for having that perfect man. They've given up hope on relationships in general, because if you don't think it's going to happen, sometimes you kind of just go in the opposite direction and say things like you don't need a man, you're okay just by yourself. And women have taken on the role, black women have taken on the role of being both mother and father in some instances. So they've learned to have to act and do the things that men do, because men in their lives have disappointed them at some situations. You know, so because they've had to take on this role, this male role, there's a hard shell that sometimes is formed over the black woman, because she has to be everything to everyone. And people construe that shell as being hard and unlovable, but that's not the case. There's a lot to love in a black woman. She's just as soft on the inside as every other woman, but she has things to take care of. She has things to do, people to take care of. So that hope is still in her, but it's flickering. It's dying, and we have to fan it back to life.
Well, I'm going to be real transparent. I've had my share of relationships, and I could speak to a lot of this on a personal level. And because I'm a writer as well, I also talk to men and women, and I have male friends, and I have female friends, and I'm always doing informal research. And when I do the research, I have to say that black women are angry, but there's only two emotions, love and fear. Of course, the miracles tell us that. And if we are angry, and many of us are, I used to be angry, and sometimes I'm angry again when I consider some of this, like my, like what, how black men, I feel like sometimes we get the bulk of the blame for our relationships not working, and meanwhile, they get off the hook. And a lot of black women feel that way. It's like, okay, people point the finger at us, or they're angry, they're hard, they're aggressive, they're loud. And then you look at some of the brothers, black women give, and end up a lot of times left behind for another woman. Sometimes they cross on over to another race woman. And so it happens enough, and if you get left with the children enough and you're raising the children by yourself, and if you can't even be vulnerable, not that we couldn't, but a lot of times when we've been raised to be strong, and then when we get in our relationships, we take that strength into the relationship, and then when we want to be vulnerable, it's perceived as weak. Which is not. Vulnerability is a strength, actually. So there are so many layers to this, Stephanie, and that's why I said you and I, we ought to do something together, because, you know, black men are not all at fault, and black women are not all at fault, but I don't see us coming together and healing this thing. It's like,
well, let me speak to that for a second. So I agree that there are some women that are angry, and rightfully so. But what I see when I look at black women is not so much anger. The ABW, the angry black woman that likes to be thrown around, oh, she's angry. I don't call that anger. I call it anguish. Okay. I consider that anguish. That's too many bad relationships, too much disappointment, too many things going wrong, having to do too much with too little, and that all that disappointment turns into anguish, which people perceive as anger, right? So that's what, when people are looking at black women, and this doesn't apply, I want to make this disclaimer, first of all, that not all black women are like that. There's some people happily bouncing around in good relationships, having a great life, and everything is fine with them, and this book is not for those women. This book is for women who have had disappointments in life. They've had heartache. They're very familiar with not having, getting what they want in relationships, and they're trying to break the cycle. So I call it anguish. You know, there's just too much going on that they can't handle, and it manifests itself in a way that looks like anger. So how do we fix that problem? How do we move ourselves out of being anguished and heartbroken? You have to look inside. So I think with this book, I gave you external causes, but I provide internal solutions.
Yeah, and of course in miracles, and I would agree with anguish. I would also agree with fear.
Absolutely,
because
there's a lot to be afraid of.
Fear, because if I say, if I've had my share of disappointments, where a lot of, you know, I hear people complain about, sometimes they complain about the children, and then but they're blaming the mother who stayed, but the father who left gets no blame. And I say, how unfair is that?
Right, and a lot of black women, our first introduction to love is with a man, right? And if that man disappoints us, that's where we start. So if you start dating in your teens and you know that boyfriend that you had disappointed you, he broke your heart, he cheated on you, and successively throughout your lifetime you've had these experiences. You've never, if you come from a single parent household like some black women do, you haven't seen true love, good love, a male and female relationships work together. You haven't seen that play. So you have no blueprint in order to kind of make a successful relationship. You haven't seen it in action. So it's very hard for you. And then you make this man who, you know, you might not have known your father very well, or he wasn't around. You've made this man who's in your life have to be a lot of things to you, you know, because you're trying to form a good relationship with a man with having no experience with that kind of situation.
Yeah, I think we should even start with the father-daughter relationship, because I have a girlfriend, and she lives in New York, and she lives here as well. She works in New York, and we were just together last weekend, and she was telling me about, as she has in many times, about her dad. I've met her dad, and he's an absolutely wonderful dad, right? And I'm like, I don't know many women, black women, with a father like my friend Letitia's father. I mean, he's incredible. And I'm like, we're talking about him, and it's like, it's so foreign to me. And she mentioned that she had a friend who also has a father like her father. But that's two people right there. And I'm not saying that nobody has that, but we know that that is so rare. My dad was in the household, but I didn't have that kind of experience with him. So when your very first man in your life doesn't accept you unconditionally, doesn't make you feel pretty, doesn't smile at you when you come in the room, doesn't make you feel special, if you don't have that, how in the world do you know what a man is supposed to be and how he's supposed to treat you? So many women have experienced being abandoned and left by their fathers and waiting. You talked about it in your book. You talked about your sister waiting for her dad.
Her first experience with a man was waiting for her. My mom got remarried, and I have a sister, and her father, basically, she was always waiting for her father to come and get her. And I remember feeling, you know, hoping that he would come in order to pick her up so that she wouldn't be familiar at 5 and 6 years old back then what disappointment felt like. You know, and she carries that weight with her today. And it's hard to let go of once it's been ingrained. So I think that black women, if they have daughters also, it's very important that we form strong relationships. Maybe not, it doesn't have to be with the father, but with a father figure, because it teaches you from a very early age how to love, how to interact with a man, that you have, that a man can love you just because, that you don't have to be more, you don't have to do extraordinary things, you don't have to be the ride or die chick, that there's limits and standards and things that are acceptable and things that are not, you know, because we're told that, you know, a good man is hard to find. We go to extraordinary lengths sometimes to keep a man that has no business being kept. So we have to work internally to fix these things, these stereotypes, these lessons and these lies that we've been told about what it means to love a black man, to love ourselves, and we have to change that and reinvent it so that we can have a brighter future, because it's important.
Absolutely, yeah. And you say she carries it to this day. I'm assuming she's a grown woman. She's a grown woman, and is very difficult. There's a lot of work, because I know I've done a lot of work, and still it's like I can see stuff that shows up. But I had to forgive my father, and I had to do years of work, and I still do work, because that sets the foundation, because you don't have a role model. You don't have that that man that loved you just because. And the reality is that you talked about it, Stephanie, in your book, that, like, sometimes women are trying to, like, give, you know, be this sexual, like, this vixen, this do super tricks in the bedroom. I can speak to that. Like, you're trying to be so much, give so much to have this man. And sometimes he's not really worth all of that. But
right. I said that you don't want to drop to your knees when Roblaine comes through the door just because he's there, just because he's a body in your house. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's not acceptable.
Exactly.
He didn't earn any special treatment. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I think it's very important that we understand that we are enough as we are. You know, cartwheels aren't necessary. You know, splits, you know, dancing on your head top, all those things are special if you want to, go ahead. But not just everyone gets it just because I'm grateful to you for being my boyfriend. He should be grateful to you because most of the time, 99% of the time, that woman, that black woman is extraordinary. Right, because she does so much with so little.
Exactly. I know some extraordinary women. I'm going to tell you.
I do, too. Like when I'm walking around the streets of New York, where I live right now, I'm constantly amazed by this woman has, you know, degrees, and she's doing this with her money, and she's an independent woman, and she's taking care of her kids, and she's buying a house, and she's an entrepreneur. There's so much that black women are accomplishing. They're going to school at record rates and graduating. We're doing our best to better ourselves, but our exteriors and our homes can look glamorous, but inside has to reflect the light, you know, that we need to shine, because no one wants to sit underneath a dark cloud. So if you're not happy, if your light's not shining through, if you are an accomplished woman but an unhappy woman, then you're going to be a hard woman to love.
Absolutely. And I would say for ourselves, we have to do the work. I know for me that if I hadn't been doing the work, I don't know where I would be today. And some of the work we do right in those relationships, because our relationships reflect back to us what we think of ourselves. So
right, like I have.
Go ahead. So I was in a relationship with someone, and he was not there for me, and he wasn't showing up for me, and I was, like I said, doing tricks to prove that I was worthy. And when
right.
I left that relationship, I knew to do this, and I started to look really at myself. How am I not showing up for me? How am I not validating me? And so all those things that you see show up, we see show up in that man, will cause us, if we pause and we take a look in the mirror, we'll know for sure that this is the way that we're treating ourselves. I just wrote a blog this week, came out, that we teach men how to treat us. So how we treat ourselves, if he's treating us, it's like Mary J. Blige said, I must have been trying to kill myself because I kept attracting men who tried to kill me. So it applies everywhere across the board. So if I have a man, if a woman has a man who's not showing up for us, and she stays with him, then she needs to look at herself and see where she's not showing up for her. So I want you to start talking about, we're going to talk about the 5 B's when we come back. We're going to take a little break. There's so much, as I said, to talk about. We're talking with Stephanie Small. She's the author of The Black Girl's Guide to Winning at Love and Life. And this book really is provocative. It will make you wince. It will make you sad and angry, but it will also show you to yourself. And that's what's important when we want to make a change. We want to see ourselves. We want to see ourselves for who we really are and how we're showing up. And I'm going to tell you straight up, I'm going to be real clear, that when you clean yourself up, when you start to love yourself, you will not tolerate some of the shenanigans that some of these men bring. That's just the reality of it. some of the men that think they're prizes, they're not the prize that they think they are. And I'm not being, you know, I'm just telling you the truth because that's my personal experience. And as you clean yourself up and you start to really value yourself, and you say, wait a minute, I bless him, I forgive him, I forgive myself
and,
for being
and he's
with
lucky
him.
To have me. You know, we're lucky
yeah,
to have each
lucky.
Other. You know, we're lucky
exactly.
to have each other. It's not that, oh, I'm so grateful to have a man or a boyfriend. You'll understand that it's a twosome, that there's two of you there and that there's equality there and that you deserve good treatment. You've earned it.
Exactly. And I'm going to tell you one reason, and I'm going to say this because I've been meaning to say this for the one reason I tell women to not limit yourself to black men. I know you believe that black men and women, you know, that's the best possible outcome or whatever. I don't necessarily believe that anymore because I think that there's another author whose name escapes me, and that's fine. But he wrote a book about black, it was something about black people, only white people get married or something like that. I can't remember the title. But the point is that he talks about when black women start to go outside their race, black men will treat us better. Now,
oh, I do discuss that. It's called a brother or something other. That's what I call that section in the book. Yes, I think black love is like music, right? That it's when our DNA meshes, it's like a melody, right? I think it's beautiful music that we make together. We make strong African queen kings and queens, and I think it's a beautiful situation. Having said that, I feel that if your black knight hasn't appeared, you know, then Pale Rider will do. You know what I mean? If he thinks that's the person for you, that you shouldn't limit yourself based on color. So even though I'm a proponent of black love and I think it's the best thing ever, I want to tell black women that if that situation's not working for you, then you have to open your eyes and open your scope and see what else is out there, because you have to spin the color wheel in order to find your happiness, and you do so.
Yeah, and I tell you, I do think that I know women personally who say they just have been overlooked by black men. Black men didn't even look at them. And there are all other women who black men would desire, perhaps, but more and more black women are saying, you know, I'm finding love elsewhere and they treat me better. And I'm sad that black men... too many black men. You actually mentioned it in your book. You said they lost Halle Berry, you know, but a lot of, you know.
Yeah, they lose. Like when I said back then, when I told when Halle Berry got married, dating the other guy, I called my black friend, male friend, and I said, how'd you lose Halle Berry? But, you know, that's going to happen more and more if black men don't kind of pay attention and understand that what the jewel that they have in their midst, right? This good and amazing diamond that they have, and they've been overlooking it. So if they are not willing to kind of appreciate what they have, then some other man from some other race will definitely be open to the opportunity. And I'm not saying, I'm telling black women that they shouldn't limit themselves to black men, that they should look elsewhere. If that is where love is going to find you, then absolutely go there. So, yeah, the chapter is called A Brother or Something Other, and I definitely talk about interracial dating, because a lot of people that I know have found love outside of the black race, outside of black men, and that's fine, because black men are very eager sometimes to date other, and black women have not been so eager. We were very loyal to it. We have, when we think about our history, you know, what people going to say about, you know, me dating this other person simply because our history in the past, you know, slave masters used to take it, and it's such a bad thing that we decide to date this other guy. But, you know, if they're not holding on to it, we shouldn't either. We have to open our eyes and open ourselves to outside opportunities.
Stephanie, I'm going to tell you, my sense is that the black men who are angry about black women dating white men or Asian men or Hispanic men, they didn't appreciate black women from the get-go. Some of these are the men that didn't appreciate black women. But what I have seen, and I I have observed is that the anger that black men direct at black women who decide to date outside their race is because they're not used to us not being there. They've taken, many black men have taken black women for granted, right?
Absolutely.
And so what you take for granted, then you look over there and you see, and a lot of black women, I'm gonna say it straight up. A lot of black women, they get with the more attractive white men, whereas black men, a lot of them are with, you know, what you talked about it in your book as well, where a lot of them are like, really? You got all you walk over all these good looking black women to be with her? Oh, please. No, please.
So, well, like I said, black women, when they're crossing over, they're more discerning, you know. They're going to pick the best that the other race has to offer. And my experience, I'm not going to paint a broad brush on the brothers, you know, but my experience is that black men aren't all that discerning when they're crossing over. Sometimes they are, but sometimes it's enough that she's other, you know. That's more exotic, you know. You've had chocolate all your life. Of course, something else is going to taste good to you. But, yeah, I find that, you know, black women, when they're crossing over, they're going for the best that the other race has to offer, as they should. It's about your value, deserving what you think you're worth. And I'm telling black women that, you know, once you are healed, once you are feeling good about yourself, once you are confident, once you have let go of the baggage of your past, then any man is open to receive you, you know, and it's something that we have to think about.
Yeah, and I would add that none of us are completely healed ever. I mean,
it's a work in progress.
It's a
constant homework.
So, yeah, exactly. So it's just like taking a bath. It's like you don't take a bath once and then for the rest of the month you clean. No, you better take another bath tomorrow. So it's like, you know, it's just because you get injured, life will hurt you as you go along, and then stuff that you, you know, from childhood is it can bubble up in a different situation, and there it is to be healed. And so I would say that we don't have to wait until we're healed, but know that you are valuable right now, right here, right now, and that nobody gets to take you for granted. And I had to learn myself, and, you know, here now, that I'd rather be alone. I'd rather be alone, which is perfectly fine when you're happy with yourself until someone comes along that's right for you, than to be with someone who's mistreating me and taking me for granted as if I'm not valuable. That's no place for a woman to be. And so I say,
and that's a scary place for people to be. So you're saying it like, yes, to be alone. They're, you know, to say, well, I'd rather be alone than to be treated badly. A lot of women, unfortunately, rather be treated badly than to be alone. So that fear that we talked about early in the discussion, that fear of never finding anyone, of growing old alone. There's worse things that can happen to you. You can have domestic violence. You can have people mistreating you. You can have people taking you for granted. You know, all sorts of things. There's worse things than being alone. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't find that person that's right for you, and that, you know, you don't have to kiss all these frogs in order to find your prince. There's, once you feel good about yourself, you know, or you're in the process of feeling good about yourself, more princes will make themselves available to you. You'll be able to tell the difference between the two.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is it. When you start to love yourself, it's like Tamia, the singer, saying, I'm in a triangle. You know, it's me, myself, and I. I'm not alone, really. It's me, myself, and I, and let's throw God in there, okay? Because the truth is that once you start to love yourself, you have this sense of happiness and joy. I'm speaking from experience. That, and it's, you start to say, you know, I had to say to myself, well, wow, I had to forgive myself for allowing myself to be treated a certain way. And you spoke of it as well in your book. And it's like, oh my God, okay, I forgive myself for putting myself in that relationship. I've sat on my bed, I've cried, I've meditated, I've prayed, I've forgiven myself, and sometimes it still will bubble up and I'll have to do it again because I chose that. But now that I'm like in a space of, oh, I am much more valuable than I knew, now I'm like, it's unacceptable. And I trust that every woman has to come to a place where she knows that there's someone out there. When you're ready, you have to, yeah, I believe someone's out there for me. I'm not even worried.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what's important also, Deborah, that I'd like to mention is that a lot of women feel like, well, I have six kids, you know, I have to take this guy, you know, because no one else is going to want me. Or, you know, I've had these setbacks in my life, and because of that, no one else is going to want me. So I have to take the abuse and the bad behavior from this guy because it's too late for me. I want black women to know that it's never too late. You know, there's someone that can love you with your three kids, your four kids, your five kids, how many kids you have or your no kids, with your bad past, your bad reputation, because anyone can transform. Anyone can try to be brand new, right? Once you've kind of decided in yourself that it's not going to be something you're going to drag around, there's a chapter in the book called Bag Lady. And I say that, you know, a lot of women have this baggage with them, and every relationship or every bad thing that happens, they add to the bag, like Erica Badu says, right? So you have to understand that baggage is not something that you have to lug with you everywhere. You're always going to have some, but it doesn't have to be debilitating. It doesn't have to be something that stops you from making good choices. Because when we're making choices in fear, and we're making choices in fear based on what we think we can't get, that's a bad situation to think of anything, to think of any solutions. So I want black women to know that it's never too late to start again.
Yeah, and you said it. So we're going to take a short break and hear what you said. You can be brand new, and our girl Alicia Keys is going to hear her version of it. And then we're going to come back. If you have questions, press 1. But definitely when we come back, I would like for you to share some solutions, as you have been doing, but I know you have more. And I know you talk about the 5 D's, and if we can explore that, I will open up the lines when we come back. So press 1 if you would like to get in on this conversation, you have a comment or a question. And as soon as my board, stop acting crazy. We're going to play some music. Technology is beautiful. Yeah.
It's been a while. I'm not who I was before. You look surprised. Your words don't burn me anymore. Been meaning to tell ya, but I guess it's clear to see. Don't be mad. It's just a brand new kind of me. Can't be bad. I found a brand new kind of free. Careful with your ego, he's the one that we should blame. Had to grab my heart back, God knows something had to change. Thought that you'd be happy, I found the one thing I need. Why you mad? It's just a brand new kind of me. It took a long, long time to get here. If I speak
Yes. You know, we can be brand new, and I happen to believe that healing happens when we go inward, when we do the work. You're listening to She Struts Radio. I'm your host, Deborah M. Ricks. My guest is the wonderful author, Stephanie Small. She is the author of the amazing book, The Black Girl's Guide to Winning at Love and Life. And let me tell you, the book really is provocative. It will open your eyes, and we need to do that. Because if we are not having the kind of experience in any area of our life that we don't enjoy, then we can do something about it. We have to believe that we can do something about it, and it starts with us. It's not out there. It's not in the man. It's not over there across, you know, it's not in the clothes and the hair. It's inward. And so I'm grateful to have Stephanie here this evening. Stephanie, we kind of talked about some of the things, like the baggage. You talk about the 5 D's to being a better black woman, and you talked about, you touched on baggage, and you talked about being better. There are a couple of other things that you'd like to talk about. You talked about overcoming the angry black woman bias.
Right, like there's 5 B's that I talk about in the book about basically to improve and to transform, and in order to let go of some of the negativity and the negative stuff that it's not only bubbling inside of you, but other people perceive you as. So the 5 B's that I talk about in the book, number one is B is bias, the idea that we've been fed that the other woman is better, and that they're not perceived as angry, and that they have some secret that we don't have, which is a complete lie. Brainwashing, you know, that the brainwashing has started from birth. You know, when you look across the magazine stands, there's never, or there's hardly ever any reflection of what your beauty is, what you think is beautiful. Black women beauty is always undermined, and we're told that we're not as beautiful, or that our great features only look good on someone else. So that brainwashing, other races have more positive PR, positive public relations. You know, if you think of Spanish women, you know, they're spicy and hot, and Asian women, they're demure and sexy. You know, when you think of black women, you know, people like to give us the ABW. That's or that we're strong. That's the only 2 things that we usually get, unfortunately. So that's brainwashing that's taking place there. And beauty, that we have to kind of own our own beauty, that other women's, their beauty is considered the gold standard, and that we have to change ourselves and our looks and our bodies in order to fit into this idea or this ideal of what other people think is beautiful. But we're beautiful as we are, and the more we're confident, the more we own our bodies and work with them to kind of make it in the ideal and optimum level, the more confidence we will gain, and that will transform us. And I also, as I said, that we talked about earlier, Deborah, about baggage. You have to, that other women have less of it, and that we have to kind of shed the one that we have and pick up new tools to put in our toolbox. And lastly, I talked to the black woman in this book about how to be better. You know, And better is basically talking about your emotional health. How do you feel better about yourself? How do you look better externally? We look fine most of the time, but we really need to address our emotional health, things that are dragging us down and back, and how we can kind of bring all these things together, these 5 B's together, to end up finally at better.
Well, there you have it. So if you want to read it, and I know you do, you should, The Black Girl's Guide to Winning at Love and Life is on Amazon, right? And
It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Smashwords, most where e-books and paperbacks are found.
Wherever, yes, you can find it. If you got a computer, a phone, a device, you can find it. And it's worth your time. One of the things I want to add is that I think it's important and you mentioned it, for us to own ourselves, to own who we are, because we have been bombarded by other folks, the media, and even our own men, that really breaks my heart, that haven't appreciated us to the extent, but we have to do it. So we get to take that up and say, okay, you know, I'm going to love me. I'm going to appreciate me. I'm going to embrace me. Because black women, as someone beautifully put it, have been appropriated but not appreciated.
Absolutely.
And so it's okay for Kim Kardashian to get the lips, to get the butt, to get, you know, to do all the things, the stuff that we have naturally. And then she's considered so beautiful, and we already have it. So I say strut yourself. That's why I named this radio show She Struts Radio, because we should strut our stuff. We should own it. And let them think and say what they may, because we really can't. All we can do is just show up and shine and be ourselves. Now, I do want to add this, and then I want you, if you have a comment, if you have a question for Stephanie, please press 1. And I'll know that you have a comment or question, and I will pipe you in. But I do want to say this, as I've heard a lot of black men complain about some things, and even if they didn't complain, there are some things that we could do, and you talked about that in your book, that we could be softer and kinder and gentler, and it to each other. They could be that way to us as a race of people. I think that sometimes we're just so harsh to each other. We speak poorly to each other. Now, other races do that, too. But I'm talking about black people right now. And so, you know, the way that we speak to each other sometimes, the harshness, and I posted on my Facebook page not too long ago that tenderness is underrated. Bring some tenderness. Let us all bring some tenderness into our relationship with our children, with each other, with ourselves. That is, to me, it's like, where is the tenderness, the patience, the love? And I've been working on being softer and kinder and gentler. I'm still a work in progress. But it's worthwhile work. And I
well,
want
yes,
a man to be that way as well, you know, to be strong and be a man, but I want to be a tender man. I don't want a man. Some men are so rough. Some of us are so rough.
Yes, on the train every day, I make a point of observing black women on the train, you know. And granted, we have a lot on our minds, you know. If we have families, then, you know, that's on our minds. If we have children, that's on our mind. How we can get ahead, how we can fight, the negativity at work, or there's a lot of things. But I've looked at black women sometimes on the train in my commute in the morning, and you know they look upset sometimes. They look like they're angry, and those are some of the most sweetest women that you actually talk to them. The ones that actually look like they might snatch you up at any moment. Sometimes that's just the perception. That's just the outer layer. So we have to understand perception is reality, right? So we have to be cognizant of the image that we're projecting to people. You know, I talk about how Tyra Banks is always saying you need to smile, you know, smile with your eyes. And when I heard that first, I'm like, really? You know, that's ridiculous, you know. But you have to basically let all this good stuff that's inside you, sometimes you have to kind of show it to people, let them know that it's there. You know, black women have a soft side as well, and we work very hard to be tough in order to protect ourselves, but it's okay sometimes to be vulnerable, to let people see that you have all these wonderful things to offer. So I just want women to be aware of themselves and what perception that they're giving the world, you know, to understand that it's okay to let people actually see you, because you have to
yeah.
give to get what.
Yeah, they call that the bitch resting face.
The bitch resting face. Yeah. You know, I had a gentleman complain to me. He's like, every time I see a black woman, she looks so mean, you know. Part of that is what he thinks and the perceptions that he's carrying around, but also it is sometimes it is in fact true, you know. So you have to be aware of what you're projecting. Smile. If someone smiles at you, you smile back, you know. Think of happy thoughts, you know. Let people know that you are a happy person, that there's good things that you have to offer, that no matter about the stresses that are overwhelming in your day, that you still know how to laugh, you still know how to play, that you still know how to have fun. It's important because no one's gonna know unless they can at least have hope that it's there in you.
Indeed, and it adds to your joy. I mean, when we feel in some kind of way and you start to smile at someone, you're going to feel that too. You're not just giving it to them, you're giving it to yourself. So I think that's excellent advice because some of this stuff is true. It's no point in us denying it and saying, oh, no. But I do want you to comment on that Facebook post that a friend of mine, she posted on her page. The question was, what does a woman mean when she says, I don't need a man? And I mean, the comments just kept coming, men and women, and I was one of them. The comments just kept coming. So what do you say about that? What are women saying? And of course, it's not any other woman. It's a black woman saying that. I don't need a man. What do you think she's saying?
I don't know what she's saying, but I think that the Bible says that man's not meant to be alone, right? Man and woman, right? So we're meant to be. He made us in twos. So the idea that we don't need each other, you know, I don't know what she meant, but I absolutely feel that we need each other. You know, we're not supposed to go through life by ourselves. You know, we're not supposed to go through life alone. You know, God gave Adam a helpmate, right? I'm sorry to get biblical on you, but I'm just going to go there for a second.
Okay.
he gave Adam Eve as a helpmate because the idea that you're supposed to wander this wilderness called life by yourself, to me, is unacceptable. You know, so you might not have that person. You might not require them. You may not need them financially, maybe is what she meant. You may not need them to help you do things. You may be able to fix the truck yourself, do your oil change yourself. You might be able to take care of yourself perfectly fine on your own, so you may not need a man to give you creature comforts or to take care of you financially, but we need each other as human beings. We're not supposed to go through life as passing ships. I think that men need women, women need men. That is, as good as your life is, it's always enhanced when you have someone important in your life to share it with. So I don't know. I reject the idea that I don't need a man. I don't need a man to take care of me. I have a job. I do well for myself. I can take care of myself. I don't need a man to handle my household. I have a bank book. I have a computer. I know how to do all those things. But I need a man as a companion. You know, and when you throw out things like, I don't need a man, that man receiving that information, you're saying to him that you're not important, you're not necessary. And that, to me, is not a good message to send to anyone. My opinion.
I remember I did a men's only rap gathering years ago, and it was beautiful from age 25, the youngest man, to about late 50s. And the gentleman in his 50s had, why is it that black women say, I don't need a man? He said, with hurt in his voice and his eyes, he said, They're the only women that say that. And I said, how does it land for you? How does it make you feel? And he said, it hurts. It's like you're saying, I don't matter.
Absolutely.
I gotta correct that. He said, why is it that black women say I'm a strong, independent black woman? And he took it to mean I don't need you. So the similar statement, those statements tend to go together. I'm a strong, independent black woman. I don't need a man. And I wrote about it in my book that it's hurtful to men. And we do need each other. We absolutely do need each other. And I don't think when a woman says that that's coming from a positive place usually.
I don't think it's coming from a truthful place either. I think you're saying that I don't need a man means I don't think I can get what I want. So I'm going to say that it's I don't need a man because I'm disappointed. I'm desolate. I'm upset. It's not going to happen for me. So I've given up hope. So when I hear the words I don't need a man, I feel like you wanted one once and it didn't work out for you. So this is what you're saying. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? You don't need a man, then you won't have one, right? You're not putting positive energy in the air, so how can it come back to you? You're saying, it's like if you said to your child, I don't need you. How's that person going to feel? We need each other. We're human beings. We're built to be in pairs and in groups. We're not built to be alone. No man is an island. There's a reason that there was a quote like that, right? I think it's important that black women understand that we do need men. We need each other. It's important. We're supposed to be together. We're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. You know, saying that you don't need a man, you might not need him financially because you're taking care of business, right? You might be the best at what you do. Therefore, you don't need him to tell you that you're valuable. But we need each other on multiple levels, and I think it's a bad trend to say that and to have other people believe that it's actually true.
It's absolutely divisive and is defensive. Just what you said. It's not true that we don't need each other, and whenever a woman declares that, she's really just putting up a shield. I've been hurt, like you said. I don't want to be hurt anymore. And my friend who had posted it to her page, she said that to her, it means I don't need any extra BS in my life. I have enough. And basically,
well, there you
any
go.
Other, yeah, there you go. So so what that says is a woman who says that is thinking that the only, when she says I don't need a man, that she has associated a man with BS. She's associated a man with drama, pain, hurt, and unfortunately, she's got a history to show that. But what we have to begin to look at, and I did this in my first book, Love Addicted, was what's my role in creating this? One, I'm attracting these sort of men because of the hurt and my expectations, and so how do I begin to heal that? So that I can have different expectations and therefore attract different kinds of men. So I have a call, and I want to bring them in, and they perhaps have a question or comment, and we'll see. So 647-977. Hello. Your name?
Hi. I do have a question. What you guys were talking about was really interesting, but my question for Ms. Small or Stephanie, I don't know what you prefer.
Stephanie's fine.
Okay, Stephanie. Now, you wrote this book about a woman's guide. Black Girl's Guide. And it's interesting, but I was just curious to how you got this information. What makes you an expert in this subject, because I think there's been a lot of people out there talking about things like this. So what makes your advice different from the others? and where you get your information from.
Well, first of all, I don't proclaim to be an expert on love. What I'm an expert on is life. I'm an expert on life, transformation, reinvention, and change. That's what I'm an expert at. So I don't claim to be Dr. Love, Dr. Love Child, or any of those things, but thanks, that's a wonderful question. So like I said, if you want to know how to transform, you want to know how to change, you want to know how to reinvent yourself, then I can help you with that because I'm in the business of doing that. I'm in the business of helping people to succeed. That's what I do for a living. That's what I've devoted my life to. I was a former social worker, so I used to counsel people on how you can get from point A, which is disastrous for you, to point B. So I'm not telling black women, look at me, I have the perfect life. I know everything there is to know about men. Listen to me because I have all the answers. What I'm trying to tell black women is that listen to me, I've been where you have been once. That sadness that you carry around with you, that heartache that you feel, that heartbreak that you can't seem to let go of, I was there once, right? And I had to shake it off and learn how to be some other than what I was, learn how to let it go, learn how to feel better about myself so that I can go back in the world and give this next man, the right man, in my life, something other than baggage and disappointment and this angry black woman. So, like I said, that's what I'm an expert on. I'm a professional development trainer, so I attacked this book in the same kind of way. And when you're teaching someone something, you teach them, how do you get from this step to accomplish the goal that you want? So that's how I approached it. But that's a wonderful question, and I thank you for asking it. And I did a lot of research, too. I talked to a lot of people. It was a lot of grassroots research, mind you, but I talked to people. I got their input. I talked to my friends. I talked to men. I figured out what is the dialogue. And I am very direct in this book. You know, a lot of black women were angry with me because I'm very blunt. You know, I give it to you directly and straight without any fluff. So it's something that I wanted women to kind of make you say, you know, think about it. It's sometimes what I had to say was hard to take in, but I approached the book and the advice that I'm giving from a position of love. In my family, we're a tough love group, and that's how I approached this book. So if it's something, if you're looking to change and transform and reinvent and you need some advice, then I suggest that this book you should take a look and read, and hopefully it speaks to you.
Okay. And one other question. When you decided to write this book, what was your inspiration?
I mentioned this earlier on the program. I was, like I said, I wrote this book not only for black women. I wrote it for myself because I had a breakup that was really devastating to me, and I had a lot of bad relationships, and I didn't feel like I was getting the love that I deserved, and I wanted, so I went through the book as a step-by-step, how do I let this go, how do I shed the disillusionment, how do I make myself feel better about myself, so that was my inspiration, and I wanted to actually be an instrument for change for the women that I love. I think black women, we have a lot of issues towards each other, but I really feel that we're a powerful people. We have a lot to offer and that we're being undervalued. So I really wanted to take the opportunity to try to change the dialogue and change the story.
Okay. Thank you very much for answering my question.
No problem.
And good luck to your book.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you, Carla.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
So where do we go from here? Where do we go? You talked about self-love. To me, that is the root. Because, you know, what I was thinking about, Stephanie, as I was preparing for this show, I was thinking, you know, there's no accident that black women are here. There's no accident that the media paints the picture that they paint of us. But when I consider, when you think about, there's a black woman, a beautiful black woman in the White House. Yay. Elegant, beautiful. They tried to paint her as an angry black woman. Serena Williams, lots of slack about her muscles and how powerful she is. And I noted the other day, I was reading an article on HuffPost, and she was saying, I am strong, I am beautiful. She owns herself. And you think about many black women, some that we don't, many that we don't know, and we are really, we show up places where we're not, expected to be, and we are doing amazing things. And so I think that we are really on a spiritual level, that we are receiving all of this quote-unquote hate directed at us, for us to rise above it, for us to embrace our beauty, ourselves, our intelligence, and because there's a spiritual reason for this. And it really just came to me as I was thinking about this show. I was like, we're created just like all the other women on the planet, and there's nothing intrinsically wrong with black women. Yes, some of us are hurting and we express it through anger. Yes, many of us have been disappointed and left and abandoned. But when you look at us, at some of us, I mean, I know women that are, that are amazing coaches and authors and speakers and that are doing some amazing things. And I'm saying, yet we're supposed to be the what Zora Neale Hurston would call the muse of the world. And so if
well, I think people
that,
like
go ahead.
I think people like to paint us with a very broad brush. You know, it's either you're either one thing or you're another. I think that the representations of us are on, like, these reality shows where you're yelling and throwing glasses across the room, and snatching people's weave off their head. That's not all that black women, like, that's the perception that the world wants us to think, that that's all there is to black women. You know, it's these negative images that are out there, and they're out there to kind of brainwash us, to tell us that this is all that we are. But there's a multitude of women with a lot of experiences and a lot to offer. You know, we're multifaceted, right? The world is threatened by this black girl magic. Suddenly, black women are starting to see themselves, to understand their worth, and they're understanding that no one else is going to do it for us, right? So this black girl magic thing that's kind of taking off lately, I love it, because it's saying that, even if you don't see it, I'm magical. There's great things about me, my hair, my body, my skin, my personality. It's all magical. It's all wonderful. So black women are embracing themselves. This natural hair movement is really taking off. That's saying that your idea of what my beauty should look like is not, you don't get to decide. I get to decide. So whether you have dreadlocks or a perm or natural hair, black women come in all these different shapes and sizes and all these different looks. And, we're getting rid of hopefully this teen light skin and teen dark skin, because we're all black people, and we all are coming in different shades and different colors, and we shouldn't divide each other. Right? We need to kind of hang on to the things that make us unique and special. What makes the black woman so wonderful is that, all these things that make us different. You can see one black woman another, and one's really white looking and one's really dark looking, but they share the same history. We are the mothers of the earth, right? We created this place, right? So people might be fighting against us because we're coming into our awareness. We're coming into the belief that we are made of special stuff, that we are here for a reason. And, of course, that's threatening to some people.
Yes, that's exactly what I see. And you said it in your book about when you began to embrace your light and you grew in confidence, that some men, they wanted to extinguish your light. Some wanted to blow it out. And I love that. I was reading it earlier today, and I was like, oh, my God, this is so good, because I can relate. I remember being in a relationship, and when I wasn't feeling good about myself, he would tell me how wonderful I was. The more that I started to just go for what I want, and I say, you know, I'm gonna create this kind of life for myself, and I was undaunted, and I was like, oh, I'm, you know, I was okay. I can see you this weekend, but I can't see you this evening. I got something to do, and I would, you know, be on it. And I noticed over time, he started to withdraw the good stuff. He wouldn't build me up anymore, wouldn't tell me how wonderful I was, because I was actually flowering. And so we're here for a reason, black women. And when the Dalai Lama said that the world would be saved by the Western woman, he was talking about us. Okay.
Amen.
Okay. So we have another caller. And as I go to this caller, I want you to know that you should follow She Struts Radio. You should follow it so that you can get notices that the show is coming up. And next week we have CJ Gross. He is a relationship engineer, and we're talking about online dating and some more stuff. But we're going to hear from a man. He's been on the show before. He's very good at what he does. And we will be talking with him next week. The week after that, we have a woman. She's a Reverend Burnett Jones, and she has experienced a miraculous healing. I have witnessed it with my own eyes. She looked like she was close to leaving this planet. She weighed 98 pounds. And now to see her, you know that there is a God. And then we have Coach Casey the week after that. She's talking about fierce vulnerability. And after that, we have Jenny Kovacs from the UK. She's coming back to talk to us some more about being visible. So you don't want to miss these shows, so you should really follow She Struts Radio. Now we have a caller, and we can't wait to hear what you have to say. Please share your name with us.
Oh, it's Asia. I'm calling from my home phone. Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Hey, Stephanie. I haven't met you, but I do know Deborah. So I have a quick comment.
Okay.
My first comment is, I think it's really important for us to remember from a historical perspective that this is by design. The setup, the division, like how do you keep a select few in power? By making the people who are below them think they're anything less than what they are.
Correct.
Dividing families, pitting men against women, pitting light against dark, like anything to keep them from focusing on, wait a minute, why do you have all that stuff? My question is for Deborah. Is there any reason, Deborah, that we cannot say the name of the woman whose Facebook post you were referring to? Because I would love to shout her out.
Oh, we can say it. I don't say names because you never know how people feel, but I don't think you have a problem. You know her, Ellen G.
Okay, and the reason why I want to shout out Ellen G is because she inspired a thought in me through a question that she asked on Facebook, and I never responded on Facebook. I do this often where it takes me a while to process. But I think about things that people say. And she posed the question, you know, what would it take for us to really support each other as black people? And she asked for one word. She asked for one word. And you know me, I'm very verbose, so that was difficult. But the answer that came to me later, and Stephanie just said it, was the word awareness. And I would elaborate on that by saying awareness of our past, of our present, and of our power.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I would say the word is love. Love conquers all. I'm talking about love. Even if I don't know my past, if I love you, I'm going to support you.
And I'd like to throw in the word trust. A lot of black people, black women, you know, in the office, they'll say, oh, I don't want to work in this office because there's pure black women. And, you know, they're always arguing. Or so, like, I think there's not enough trust. Like you said, it's by design. of course.
Right.
But we have to trust one another. You don't always have to look at the – I wrote about this in the chapter Super Sister. You don't always have to look at the next black woman with a side eye and try to – the minute you meet her, thinks that she has an agenda or that she has a plan or a design that she's trying to kind of dismantle your life or she's up to something. A lot of black women approach other black women that way. You know, and I find it very disheartening. You might meet another woman from another race and you don't question her motives, but you meet another black woman and you all automatically think that she thinks she's too nice or she thinks she has it going on and you don't trust her, you don't like her. Why? Why
but
is
again,
that your immediate
again,
reaction?
Again, I would take that back to, just to, for argument's sake, not even argument's sake, but agreed, that I would even take that back to awareness because when you know who you are, then you have no need to be insecure. And you are love, right? Like, you know that you are love. I think about Inazaki Shange has been, like, on my mind hardcore this week. And the last line in her play, I found God in myself, and I loved her fiercely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you really remember who you are, there's no reason for you to be insecure around anyone.
Absolutely. So there we have it, trust, awareness, and love.
Yes. Can we make an acronym? ATL.
Beautiful.
I'm going to
Atlanta.
You
know what?
Perfect.
My mind immediately went towards that, too. Like, what is that? Is that a word?
It is now.
Yes.
We're going to have
oh
to contact
God.
Atlanta and make sure they're okay that we're using it.
They're going to have to be.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Asia. Thank you. And Asia is going to be a guest blogger on my blog coming up next week. So look for her post. And it's very provocative.
Awesome.
Yes. So thank you, my dear.
Thank you both. Nice to meet you, Stephanie.
You too.
So, Stephanie, let people know how they can connect with you.
All right, sure. I have my website is thesupersista.com. Sista is spelled S-I-S-T-A-H, so that's the Super Sista. I call myself a part-time blogger because, you know, I blog there on occasion about things that really touch me and come to mind. And as I said, if you're looking for the book, you can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Smashwords, pretty much anywhere paperback and ebooks are found. I'm at Twitter, at The Super Sister, and Instagram, the same thing, and Facebook, author Stephanie Spall, and I have a page, The Super Sister, and again, that's S-I-S-T-A-H. So I'm around on social media. If you want to connect with me, I'm always looking forward to hearing what other people and fans and readers and friends have to say, so it's something that I look forward to.
Well, it's really been a delight to talk with you. As I have said many times during the show, that The Black Girl's Guide to Winning at Love and Life is very provocative. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you frown and, like you said, it'll make you think. It's worth your time. It's the kind of book that you read a little bit, you got to put it down. I turn it, you know, over, and then I got to ponder it a little bit. And I'm marking it up, and then I come back to it. It really lends itself to a workshop, a discussion, and we may have to have Stephanie back to discuss this further. Maybe we just zero in on one or two topics because I wanted to ask you a million questions. It's really a powerful book, and I'm convinced that we're here for a reason, black woman, okay? And I see some amazing black women that are, yes, they are right out front. I mentioned some of them, but there are women that we know in our own circles that we can say they are remarkable, amazing women. And I just encourage us to love ourselves. That will answer our relationship issues as well. So, Stephanie,
sure will.
Why don't you, you know, because love is really, like, underrated. I had a reading this week and an oracle reading, and I asked the question, how do I grow my business? And the answer was unconditional love.
Okay.
And unconditional love. And so what I made a decision was, I decided that I would stop judging. And then of course, this is a work in progress, right? But I said I'm going to work on judging less, at least. I mean, it's like the mind is constantly judging. Oh, look at her. Look at him. Look at that. Look at this. Look at that. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to work on loving. Loving people, accepting people. And I tell you, I can see that it can transform your life. Just letting go of the judgment. Now, I know I have some issues or some, let me put it this way. This topic, when I think about black men and black women, it really saddens me sometimes how divided we are. But I want to close with knowing that we can bring more love into the world as we love. So even if I may not be able to change the man in California or impact his life, maybe not, but I can impact the man I see tomorrow if I smile at him in the gym, like you said,
sure.
Stephanie, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, to smile at a black man in the gym tomorrow, I could change the perception of black women, help change that, and impact him and myself. So what would you say as we close? What would some of your last words be for us as women, and even to black men, because black men listen to this show as well?
Well, for black men and black women, I want them to know that we can't survive without each other, you know, that we're intimately tied to one another, that our history is entwined, and that our future is in each other's hands. So in order for us to have a brighter future, we have to work together as a united front, you know, and that black people in general, once you realize that we are so valuable, you know, don't believe the hype that is being fed that we're not enough and that we're less and that, you know, we have all these issues that can't be resolved. You know, we're a powerful people. Like I said, our DNA is strong. You know, we're mothers of the earth. We've been here for a long time and we're not going anywhere. You know, black love is like music. And I think that we can all kind of find our way back to each other. We can find all the things that we want and that we desire. So real love starts with self-love. Once you believe that you are worthy, that you are beautiful, and that you have so much to offer, the universe will open it up itself and present everything you want to you. So I just want to close with that.
Mm-hmm. So I thoroughly appreciated this conversation with you and with our audience, because without them, why would we be here? So I say, be kind to yourself, love you first, and that gives you the power and the strength and the ability to love others. And you've been listening to She Stress Radio. My guest has been Stephanie Small. She's the author of The Black Girl's Guide to Winning at Love and Life. Tune in.
Thank you for having
time.
Me.
My pleasure.
She's just a girl and she's on fire, hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire, filled with catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away.